Okay.
Fine. So we are going to be talking about morning Yerushalayim benching. I want to start off with a halakha found in Shulchan Aruch, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, you can see in source number one, that noagim lechasot hasakin b'shat rikad hamakom. There's this minhag that when you're benching, you should cover all knives or put knives away, right? So the Mishnah Berurah jumps in and tries to explain this strange minhag. The first answer he gives is that, okay, well, knives are shorten people's lives, and the table on which you're eating, which is compared to the mizbeach, that lengthens a person's life, so the two are contradictory, they shouldn't go together. But then the Mishnah Berurah jumps in and gives a second explanation. So if you see in source number two, he explains as follows. The ta'am sheni, why are we supposed to cover knives when we're benching? B'shem Rabbeinu Simcha, l'fisha pa'am echad, higia echad l'birkat bonei Yerushalayim. There was once a person who was benching. When he got up to the bracha of bonei Yerushalayim, the third bracha of benching, v'nizkar churban habayit, he remembered the churban, v'takas hakim bevitno. And he stabbed himself in the stomach with a knife. V'alkein nahagula saklo b'shat bracha. And that's why we remove all knives from the table during benching. Now, when I first heard this halacha from Rav Reuven Tarrigan, he explained it as follows. He said, so most of us aren't going to stab ourselves during benching when we get up to Bnei Yerushalayim. But the reason why we should still remove knives from the table is because we want to be reminded of the fact that it should bother us that we aren't pained by the fact that Yerushalayim, that we aren't pained by the fact that Yerushalayim is destroyed. But I think there's something more there. I think we are actually able to use benching as a tool to mourn Yerushalayim every single day. And that's the goal for today. But in order to understand how we're able to use benching to mourn Yerushalayim, first we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, why, in fact, do we mention Yerushalayim and benching at all? Right? We eat a meal, we should say a bracha thanking Hashem for the food that we were given. Why is it that the majority of benching isn't focused on food? We speak a lot about Eretz Yisrael, we speak a lot about Yerushalayim. Why is that? What do those have anything to do with benching? And I guess in order to answer that question, we have to take an even further step back and understand what benching is in the first place. So that's our goal for today. I guess I'll reverse those questions. Number one, we're going to be dealing with what is benching? Why do we say it? What's the goal? What does it mean? Number two, we're going to speak specifically about why we mention Yerushalayim in benching. And then number three, it's going to be more of a practical thing, how we're able to use benching as a tool to mourn Yerushalayim. Is that good? Any questions? Okay. Before I start, so I want to give credit to one of my closest rabbis, Rabbi Yaakov Veit. He was my Tanakh teacher back in middle school.
And I still alive?
Yes, thank God.
Oh.
Probably in his 40s.
Not that.
50s maybe. But anyway, I've been super close with him ever since, and he's taught me a lot. But specifically, I heard him give a related share on Tisha B'Av like 5 years ago, and a lot of the different sources, a lot of the ideas I'm getting from him. So, yeah. Okay, so let's get started. Right, our first question is, what is benching? Right, if you look in source number three, I brought down the majority of the perek, because we're going to get to some of the other psukim in a second, and also, this is from Parshat Ikev, the first 18 psukim of Devar Perechet is a beautiful perek, it's a shir in and of itself, but we're going to focus on one pasuk for now, right? Pasuk Yud, the bolded part in source number three. This is generally known as a source for benching. You should eat, and you're going to eat, and you're going to be satisfied, and then you're going to bless Hashem, your God. Anyone want to take a stab at the last phrase? How would you translate that? Any thoughts? Well,
good land, which you give us.
Yeah. So you should thank Hashem for the land that He gave us. It's weird. So like some people try to like argue that. Okay, no, there only is an obligation to bench when you're in Eretz Yisrael, right? You should only be'achalta b'savat v'erachta when you're physically al ha'aretz ha'tovah asher natanach. Some people say it's because, right, the Gemara in Tainus speaks about the fact that Hashem primarily cares about Eretz Yisrael, and he waters Eretz Yisrael, and then like all the leftover rain and all the leftover hashkacha goes and fills up all the other lands, helps all the other lands. But really, it's all about Eretz Yisrael. So that's how some people explain this pasuk. The Ramban, the way he explains it, if you look in source number four, is as follows. V'ta'am al ha'aretz ha'tovah, kemo v'al ha'aretz ha'tovah. Meaning, the way the Ramban reads this pasuk is as follows. V'achalta v'savata u'v'arachta et Hashem lokecha. You should eat, you should be satisfied, and you should bless Hashem for the food. And in addition to blessing Hashem for the food, ve'al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natanach, we should also bless Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, which He gave you. Which causes us to take a step back and realize that benching can no longer be just about thanking Hashem for food. Because there clearly is another thing we're thanking Hashem for. We're thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael. And therefore benching, there must be a different goal to benching. So the Meshech Chachma, right?
Well, the Ramban seems to put the two together.
He does. They're definitely related.
Yeah, meaning when we say the land, it's because you benefit from the food of the land. So Ramban, it's all food.
Sort of. Right, the Ramban says, ve'al ha'aretz ha'tova yitzarashi tefarachayu v'chol eitz ha'kispa al-asoba v'yal ha'aretz ha'natam lecha shi'an chilem lecha lo'lamim kispa mitzivah. You're saying that's definitely referring to the food that you're getting from the land,
meaning,
not just the goodness of the land in general?
The ultimate goal for us as a nation is to be an Eretz Israel, and we get our food from that land, so that's why we're...
I don't know, the Ramban still seems to be saying we're taking Hashem for the general benefit we get from Eretz Israel, not dafka just the food.
But tisba mituba, we get satiated from its good?
Good, that's more than just food. That's any of the benefits Eretz Yisrael provides, protection.
I always thought that was a food thing.
I trust you.
No, it's okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Either way,
even if that's what Ramban is saying, that's all about food. There are other Mefarshim and Chumash who take it in a different direction. Right, the Meshech Chachma, much more contemporary than the Ramban, has this piece in source number 6. Where at first he suggests that what's the whole goal of benching? The goal of benching is to thank Hashem for food. Then he says, no, that can't be, because we speak about other stuff than benching too. So he explains as follows. Ach ba'emet in habracha al zeh bilvad. The goal of benching isn't just to thank Hashem for food. That's what he speaks about before this. Raku inyanu michim v'nacher. It's a whole different thing. Kshe'ochel v'sabeah. When you eat and you're satisfied, as hu alua l'va'eit. Then this is the time where you're likely to, what's the word? To stand up to God or to rebel a little bit, right? The most clear time we see this in the Torah is if you jump to source number 7. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Vayelech, Ki avienu el ha'adama asher nishpati la'avotav. Hashem says, when I bring you into the land that I promised your fathers, it's going to be a land that's zavat chalav u'dvash. It's flowing with milk and honey. Ve'achal, you're going to eat. Ve'savah, you're going to be satisfied. And then v'dashen, you're going to become fat. And then you're going to turn to other gods and you're going to serve them, and you're going to anger me, and you're going to nullify my covenant. There's this idea that right after a meal, there's this potential to become arrogant, to become haughty, to stray away from God. And that's why, if you look back at our psukim in source number 3, in Dvarim Perachet, so Hashem is telling us the opposite. Right? If the reason why I brought this whole parak is I want to get some of the context. If you, let's say we start in Pasuk 7, Pasuk Zion. Right, Moshe tells the people, "Ki Hashem lokecha mevi'achal eretz tova." Hashem is bringing you into a good land, eretz nachalei mayim, a land flowing with water. I know it's in Tumot, all these different springs. Yotzim b'mikal b'har. It's a land that's eretz chita, sora, gevin, peinav, rimon. All this great fruit there. If you look in pasuk tet, eretz asher lo b'miskenu tochal b'alachem lo tachzar kovah. You're not going to be lacking anything in Eretz Yisrael, whatever. And because Eretz Yisrael is such a great place, what you should do is v'achalta v'savata, and not ufana lo himacharim. You shouldn't eat, be satisfied, and then turn to other gods. But instead, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta at Hashem lokecha. There's this powerful time right after you eat a meal that has the potential to be used for good or the potential to be used for bad. And instead of, like we see in Parsha Vayelech, you shouldn't use this time for bad. You should instead use it for good and bless Hashem for food and for this great land that He has given you. And we know that this pasuk over here is kind of hinting back to this pasuk that we have later on in Parsha Vayelech, because then the pasukim continue in Pasuk Yudalech, where Hashem says, or Moshe says, Hishamar locha, pentishkachar Hashem lokecha, divoltish shemar mitzvotav l'mitzvotav l'chukotav. You should be careful not to forget your God. If you look in Pasuk Yudbet, pentochal v'savata v'tim tovim tiv nevi ashavta, you're going to eat, you're going to be satisfied, you're going to build all these great houses. V'karacha v'tzoncha yivuyun, you're going to have all this cattle and all this money. And then in Pasuk Yudalad, we say, v'ram levavacha, v'shachachta at Hashem lokecha. Your heart is going to become haughty. You're going to forget Hashem, your God. Motiachah me'eretz yitzayim yivet avadim. So what these psukim are teaching us is that this time after you eat a meal is an extremely powerful time. And you eat, and you feel haughty, and you feel arrogant because you're so full and you don't need anything from anyone else. And therefore, there's this potential for you to just turn and serve other gods, which is a very selfish act, right? Most other idols, when you serve them, it's because you want to get something from them for yourself. It's an act of selfishness. So when you feel like you need it, you have everything and you're full, then there's the potential to stray from Hashem. And Hashem is saying, no, take this opportunity not to stray from God, but to connect yourself to God. Uberachta at Hashem Elokecha, use this to recognize that everything comes from Hashem.
Or is
Ina? What?
Probably in
Hashem. Yeah, we'll talk about it after the show. Right, so that's the goal of benching, to use this opportunity to connect yourself to the important things, to recognize that all these different things come from Hashem, not just food, but also Eretz Yisrael. Rav Hirsch says it really well in source number 8. He has this beautiful like 5-page essay when he's commenting on the pasuk, but it's like a small snippet where Rav Hirsch says as follows. Right, the Birkat HaMazon, the grace after meals, as it's popularly known, is something more than just a formal recognition of thanks for what we have received. It is intended not only to remind us that it is God and God alone that we owe our existence, but also to make us aware of the logical implications of this fact for the accomplishment of our life's mission. For this reason, Birkat HaMazon consists of 4 brachot, which together encompass all the factors that constitute the concept of a Jew. So Rav Hirsch is taking the Meshech Chachma a step further. He says, this time after you eat is an extremely powerful time. It's a time we're able to connect to Hashem. It's a time we're able to stray from Hashem, but it's also a time we're able to connect to Hashem, and therefore we have to use benching to remind us of all the important aspects that make a Jew a Jew, and take advantage of this powerful time to remind us of the things for which we live life, and to recommit ourselves to those values. And that's kind of like the path I want to take for now, right? Benching is not just the opportunity to thank Hashem, but it's the opportunity to reconnect ourselves to the things that are important to us, recognize the core things that make up what a Jew is, and to be able to take that with us to the rest of our lives. But now we have to ask the next question, which is, okay, right? Benching is about connecting ourselves to the core things that make up a Jew, but what exactly are the core things that make up a Jew? And that's what the Gemara in Brachos, in source number 5, Brachos Daf Mem Chet Amidbet, does the following. It takes this puzzle and breaks it up into its different components. In like the second paragraph in source number 5, the Gemara says, Minayin lebirchas hamazon min haTorah. How do we know that benching is from the Torah? Shenatmar v'yachalta v'savata v'yirachta. Right, the first part of that pasuk, you should eat, be satisfied, and thank Hashem. That's birchat hazan. That's the first bracha we say in benching. And we're going to get back to it in a second, but on the second page, I put like a mini venture there. So that's like, it's the first bracha, the hazan. It's along tulo tulo b'chin v'chaser v'rachamim. So that's what we get from the first half of the pasuk. V'yachalta v'savata v'yirachta. Okay, then the pasuk continues, et Hashem alokacha. What do those words teach us? So birchat hazimun. This is the source for zimun. We're not going to focus on zimun for now. But the pasuk continues, al ha'aretz. We should thank Hashem for the land. Like the Ramban told us, it's a separate thing we're thanking Hashem for. So that's birchat ha'aretz. This is the source for the second bracha of benching, the nodelecha and the va'al ha'kol, where we thank Hashem for a bunch of different things that we're going to get to also in a second. And then finally, ha'tobah. Right, we describe Eretz Yisrael not just that we're thanking Hashem al ha'aretz for the land, but al ha'aretz hatovah for the good land. So this extra adjective hatovah is zo bonei Yerushalayim. It's the bracha of the third bracha of benching, the rachim and the uvnei Yerushalayim, and the fourth bracha of benching, the hatovah mitiv, that was added on later rabbinically, later rabbanon, because after the destruction of Beitar, where there was this mass wiped out of hundreds of Jews, so only after a couple days the bodies were allowed to be buried, so that's why the Bracha of Hatova Meitiv was instituted, but that wasn't part of the original Dorait institution of benching, so we're not going to focus on that for now. But we see from this Gemara and Brachot that there are 3 components of benching. There's Hazan, which we'll figure out what that is, there's the Birkat Ha'aret, thank Hashem for the land, and the Bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. And if the Meshech Chachma and Rav Hirsch are right, these 3 components are the 3 aspects that make up what a Jew is supposed to be, that define the core and the essence of what our lives are supposed to be. So what I want to do for a second is actually look in the text of benching and try to understand what exactly is found in these words that define the core of who we're supposed to be, and how we could use that as a way of mourning Yerushalayim. So if everyone could jump to the second page.
Okay, Ellie.
Thank you, Brad. You see that a lot?
Yeah, so this is talking about how you
how we mourn Yerushalayim. We'll get there in a
second.
That. Well, second. I'm first going to go through the words of benching. Okay, so in the first box on the top right side, This is the bracha of Hazan et Hakol. And I tried to bold some of the words, but if you look through the words, you get an idea of what exactly is going on here. We barakat Hashem alakini malach ha'olam. We're thanking Hashem, who is Hazan et ha'olam kulo. Hashem sustains the entire world. If you jump to the second line, Hu notein lechem l'chol basar. Hashem gives bread to every single person. Kilu olam chaso, etc., etc. Jump to the third to last line. Hashem is kihu kel zan umfarnes lakol. Hashem is both zan umfarnes. The difference between zan and umfarnes is zan is to provide mazon, is to provide food, and mefarnes comes from the word parnas, a leader, or the word parnasa. It's to provide a way of attaining food. Kind of like zan is you give a man a fish, and mefarnes is you teach a man to fish. So Hashem is both zan and farnes. He gives both the fish and the fishing pole lakol. He does that to everyone. Just to finish up, umetiv lakol umechim azon lechol b'riot havashavara. The emphasis, the word that gets repeated over and over in this bracha, is kol. Right. The first bracha of benching is it speaks about the fact that Hashem sustains the entire world. It's this recognition that if we're right that benching is all about reconnecting ourselves to what a Jew is supposed to be. It's this recognition of the universal aspect of Jews. That Am Yisrael isn't this separate unit that's disconnected from the world, but we're part of the world. And the reason why the theme of this bracha is mazon, is food, isn't because that's the only thing we're thanking Hashem for, but it's the most universal thing. Every single person needs some sort of food or some sort of sustenance. And that's exactly what we're doing in the first bracha. We're reminding ourselves that Am Yisrael and every single Jew is part of a collective whole. We're not disconnected from the world, we're part of the world. And it's also interesting to note that this entire bracha is written in third person. We speak about Hashem, who notein lechem l'chol basar. He provides bread for everyone. Uv tuvo hagadol, and in His great goodness. We don't speak to Hashem, we speak about Hashem. Because the way that most of the world has this universal relationship with Hashem isn't this personal relationship, but it's this awareness that God exists and God gives to us, but it's less of that connection. But either way, that's the first bracha of benching. It's recognizing the universal aspect of Am Yisrael, that we are part of the entire universe, we're part of the world. And then we move on to the second bracha of benching, right? The bracha of Nodelecha, what the Gemara in Brachot called Birchat Haaretz, the blessing on the land. Now, if we look to the bracha, we immediately see that it isn't just a bracha about Eretz Yisrael. We start out, well, first, the first thing to point out when we start reading the bracha is Nodelecha Hashem Elokeinu. Suddenly we have a change. Before, we were speaking about who, we're speaking about Hashem. Now we're saying Nodelecha, we're speaking to Hashem. This entire bracha we're going to see is written in second person. It's much more of a personal, intimate relationship. And we start, Nodel Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, thank you Hashem, Al Shehin Chalta La'avotinu, that you have given to our ancestors. We're no longer focused on the universal aspect of things, but it's much more of this personal. Hashem, you give something to our ancestors and only our ancestors, something that's special or different from the rest of the world. You've given us an Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava, you've given us this beloved land, this vast land. So that's why this is called Birchat Haaretz. But we speak about other things in this bracha too. Hashem, you took us out of Eretz Mitzrayim, and you redeemed us from slavery. You made a covenant with us. You've given us the Torah. You've given us laws. It's all these things that make the Jewish people into a nation. It's the shared land. It's the shared history. It's the shared rules. It's the shared covenant. It's all these things that makes the Jewish people a unit, makes us unique. We refer to this bracha as Birchat Haaretz because Eretz Yisrael is one of the most clear ways to recognize that the Jewish people aren't just a bunch of scattered individuals, but are actually one unit because we have a homeland. But it's not just Eretz Yisrael. It's the fact that we have a lot of different things that unite us and make us into a unit. And this bracha in benching, the bracha of Nodelecha, is focused on the national aspect of Eretz Yisrael. The national aspect of being a Jew. Meaning, as opposed to the first bracha of benching, which was saying that to be a Jew, you have to recognize it, that there's a universal thing. You're connected to the entire world. The second bracha of benching has reminded us that even though you're part of the rest of the world, you still aren't like everyone else. You still are your own separate unit, this like bubble within the entire universe. You still exist within the entire universe, but you're still your own bubble. And that comes with a special role of being a role model and spreading the values of a Kaddish Baruch Hu to the rest of the world. But that's a shir for a different time. But there's like these two aspects that we're focusing on, the universal in the first bracha and the national in the second bracha. And what's cool is that if we look towards the middle of the second bracha, is we again speak about the fact that we thank Hashem shatat zan umfarnes, that Hashem, you sustain us and you provide us with a livelihood. You give us the fish and the fishing rod, but it's not just you occasionally give us food. It's your zan umfarnes otanu tamid, constantly, b'chol yom, b'chol eid, b'chol sha'ah, every day, every single moment. It's this idea that once you have a nation that's centered around Hashem, then no longer do you just recognize Hashem's role in your life when you're eating or when you're actually getting something, but just your existence, the existing as part of a group, you recognize that that's also a gift from Hashem. Okay, so those are the first two brachot of benching. The first is the third person, the universal. We recognize that the Jewish people are part of the world. And then the second bracha is the much more, it's in second person. It's much more intimate relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, showing them, no, we have this national aspect of being a Jew too, that we have our own bubble within the entire world. And then we move on to the third bracha. And the third bracha, we mention a bunch of other aspects of being a Jew. Right? If you look in the bracha of Rachin, we speak about a Yisrael Amecha, that this nation of Yisrael, Bel Yushalayim Yirecha, there's a city Yushalayim, Yal Siyom Mishkan Kodacha, Yal Machuk Yitav Yibishikacha. There's this spiritual presence in Yerushalayim. There was this kingdom of David, Delabayit Hagadol v'Hakadosh Nikrashim Chaalav, and there was this great building, the Beit Hamikdash, that existed in Yerushalayim. And it's hard to tell the difference between the second and third bracha. Both of them are speaking about these things that are unique to the Jews. Both of them are addressing Hashem in second person. Until we look closely at the words and the way the words are structured, right? Because if you jump back to the second bracha, right, and we look at all the things that we're thanking Hashem for. We thank Hashem, Nodelecha. What are we thanking you for? Al Shehin Chalta La'avotein Nu, that you've given something to our ancestors. V'al Shehotzeitan Nu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Uftitan Nu Me'Beit Avadim. V'al B'itcha Shechatamta V'sarein Nu. V'al Tarecha Tzimotan Nu, etc., etc. The suffix that gets repeated over and over and over again in the second bracha is the Nu, the us. Hashem, you have done all these great things for us. And yes, at the end of the day, the nation of Am Yisrael is about us. It's about us having a strong people, a strong unit, this collective unit. And we thank Hashem for all the things He's done for us. And that's why the emphasis is on the new. But if we go to the third bracha, the emphasis is on something completely different. But if you look at all the suffixes in the third bracha, Rachim na Hashem Elokeinu, Al Yisrael Amecha, Vel Yushalayim Yirecha, Vel Tziyom Mishkan Kavodacha, Vel Nachubi Tavim Shechecha, Vel Abayit HaGadol V'Kadosh Nikrash Shimcha Alav. The emphasis is on Hashem. And we mentioned all the things that exist in Hashem's name, and we start to see the difference between the second and the third bracha, and they complement each other, but they're two distinct things. And I couldn't find the language to express this until two nights ago when Rav Boaz Mori, anyone want to share? You want to share? Great share. But he gave me the language to explain this. He was talking about the fact.
Is Mori? Is he still around?
Yeah, he just gave a share here two nights ago.
Did you hear so?
I don't think so.
Why?
You would have liked him. But either way, we see that this period, he was explaining that this period, the Churban, is about the fact that there were two kinds of destructions that went on. There was both a national destruction and there was a spiritual destruction. And I'm not going to get into like all of it now, of his whole share, but that's exactly the two different brachot we have in benching, right? The second bracha of Nodalacha, we thank Hashem for the national aspect of Am Yisrael, that we exist as a collective group. And it's not just a bunch of individuals doing a thing, but we're actually a unit. But the third bracha of benching, focusing on Cha, you, Hashem, it's much more of the spiritual side of things. Because we're not just a group of people who does things together for no purpose, right? We have a purpose. We're doing things for Hashem. And a lot of times people, like this unfortunately is, it happens a lot with Am Yisrael, where people feel like they're part of a people, we're part of Jews, but like, I'm part of the Jewish people, but like there's no God. And what benching is teaching us is that no, yes, it's important to be a unit, to have this national side of things, but you also need to be doing it for a purpose. You need to be using it to serve Hashem. And that's why the bracha concludes. If you look in this bracha of Rachim, where we ask Hashem, "Mena al tatzrichinu Hashem alokinu." Hashem, don't make us need l'lidei matnat asarvadam, the gifts of other people, v'lidei helvatam, and the loans of other people. Who do we want to be sustained by? Ki'in liadcha hamaleah petuchah kiyoshav v'achava. We want to be sustained by your full hand, your open hand, your holy hand, Hashem. We want things from you. Because if you're a person who's just focused on yourself and building up you and building up your community, then as long as you get the things that you need, you're happy. As long as you're the recipient, it doesn't matter who's giving you these things. But when the goal of getting all these things is to then use them for a higher purpose of serving Hashem, then who you get it from does matter. You don't want to just be sustained from any person. You want to be sustained from Hashem because He's the one you're trying to build up a relationship with. And essentially, yeah, we have these three brachos of benching. Okay, the first bracha is focusing on the universal aspect of being a Jew. We're part of the world. The second bracha is focusing on the national aspect of benching. The new. It's us. We are a unit. We're this bubble that exists within the rest of the world. And then we have the third bracha of benching that says, yes, we are a unit, this bubble that exists within the rest of the world, but we're not trying to build this bubble for ourselves. We're doing it for this higher purpose, this spiritual purpose of connecting to Hashem. So that's the basic structure of benching. And again, we're not going to get into the fourth bracha for now because that was added on later, and that's a whole separate share. But then, if we look back at the brachot one more time, we see that there's a difference between the first two brachot and the third bracha. Because the first bracha, when we say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, we're blessing Hashem, we're thanking Hashem who is Zanat HaOlam Kulo, it's a bracha of thanks. Then we move on to the second bracha, Nodelecha. That's a clear bracha of thanking Hashem for giving us all these different things that have made us into a nation, that make us into this unit. But then we shift from the first and second bracha to the third bracha. Because is the third bracha a bracha of thanks? No. It's this bracha where we're asking Hashem for something. We shift from thanks to plea. Right? Rachimna, Hashem have mercy. Al Yisrael Amecha. V'al Yerushalayim Merecha. V'al Tziyom Etrang Kvodecha. Etc. Etc. And we shift from thanking Hashem for things that we have to asking Hashem for things that we once had but now we don't. Which means that when we're going through the act of benching, we're doing two things. Number one, we're reminding ourselves at this extremely powerful and vulnerable moment right after a person eats and they're full and they're arrogant and there's the potential to go really good or to go really bad, we're reminding ourselves that no, I am a Jew, and to be a Jew means three things. Number one, I'm part of the world. I have this universal side of me. Number two, I'm still part of this special Jewish bubble. I have this national side of things. And number three, part of being a Jew is having not just the universal and the national, but also having the spiritual of connecting to something greater. That's the first thing that we remind ourselves of. So there are three aspects to being a Jew. But the second thing that we remind ourselves of when we're benching, that even though there are three aspects of being a Jew, right now we only have two of them. And we thank Hashem for the universal side. We thank Hashem for the national side. But we say, Hashem, we don't have the spiritual side. And we're not only asking Hashem when we say Rachim Na, we're not only asking Hashem to provide us with that spiritual side, to provide us with infrastructure with which we're able to take our Judaism and elevate it and use it not just to form a unit but and to feel like we're part of a community, and but to take it and connect to Hashem. We're not just asking Hashem to give us the Beis HaMikdash to allow us to do that. But if we're saying benching, like Rafersh was explaining, is really about reminding ourselves what our goal is, it's not just asking Hashem to provide us with the ways of building up the spiritual relationship, but it's reminding ourselves that we need to work on building up that spiritual relationship too. And it's something that's super, super crucial to realize every day, but specifically today. Because the lack of spirituality in our lives. And I'm not just talking about the lack of feeling good and feeling inspired when we do Jewish things, but it's about the reason why you do these things. If you take Judaism, you take Avodas Hashem, and you use it to feel good about yourself, and use it to have a meaningful life, but it's really all about you, it's about the new, instead of the ha, 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 then that's called, we have a word for that, it's called Avodas Hara. Right? Think back to right after Har Sinai, okay? There's this story that exists in Chumash, that after Har Sinai, the Jews just experienced this incredible revelation. They just got the Torah. And then, a couple days later, Moshe goes down, and he sees they're all dancing around this golden calf. And they're crying out, Ela Elohecha Yisrael, look, these are your gods, Asher Otzeiticha Me'aretz Yitzrayim, we took you out of Egypt. And because of that, the Luchos get broken, and that's part of the reasons why Bnei Yisrael didn't go into Eretz Yisrael right away. And it was this whole really, really bad thing. Do you seriously think that this nation of people who just witnessed all these miracles being taken out of Egypt, they saw the sea splitting, they saw God at Har Sinai, you really think that they're the kind of people who a couple days later are going to be convinced that no, it was all, that's all a dream, really we were taken out of Egypt by this golden calf? No, that's clearly not what's going on, right? B'nai Yisrael had just experienced this extremely meaningful, this extremely inspiring, this extremely spiritual experience, and now they wanted to hold on to that. So they built this idol as a way of representing Hashem, and they wanted something for themselves, something meaningful, something spiritual, but they wanted it for themselves, and therefore they decided that whatever way that we want to do it in, whichever way is going to be most inspiring and meaningful for us, that's what we're going to do. And the whole lesson of Cheder Egel is that Judaism isn't just about doing whatever you find spiritual, what you find meaningful. It's about what God tells you is the right thing to do. And you got to live your life and do avodas Hashem, not avoda of yourselves, not for yourself, but avodas Hashem for God's sake. Whatever God tells you is the right thing to do. And that's what avodas zara is. Right? The word avodas zara, and one of my rabbis from Gush, right, Rav Menachem Liebtag, big Tanakh guy. So the Cheder Egel is one of his favorite stories, and he always points out whenever he teaches it that avodah zarah doesn't mean idolatry, it means a foreign kind of worship. You're doing worship, you're worshiping God, but you're just doing it in a foreign way, in the wrong way. So that's what it means to not have spirituality. Not that you don't feel inspired, but you're taking the spirituality and the meaning and the inspiration, and you're using it for yourself instead of doing it for God's sake. And that's exactly the problem with regret. Can I have 1 second? Okay. That's the problem with that's exactly something that we need to be focusing on Tisha B'Av. Because the lack of spirituality, like we see in the Baruch of Rachim, that we're now missing the Beis HaMikdash, and we're missing all these things to provide us with inspiration, it isn't just the result of the Korban HaBayit, but it was also the cause of it. I don't have it on the sheet, but the Haftorah that we read this morning in Shacharis, right? The Yirmiyahu describes... is there a Tanakh here?
Hmm? That's the Tanakh one here.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so Yirmiyahu explains in
paragraph what?
Parak Tes, the ninth parak of Yirmiyahu.
Paragraph number 9?
Yeah. So Yirmiyahu says that he's describing, he's prophesizing what's going to be after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Yirmiyahu says, Miha Isha Chacham Biyavina. So who's going to be the wise person who's going to understand all this? In Perek Tet Pasuk Yud Bet, Yirmiyahu says, "What's the reason for the Korban Habayit? Alozvam etorati, that they have left my Torah, Asher Natati lefnehem, that I've given them. Below Shamu b'Koli, below Halkuba. They number one didn't Shamu b'Koli, they didn't listen to my voice, and number two below Halkuba, they didn't walk in the path of the Torah. So the Gemara in the Darim on Hey Aleph Amud Aleph says, okay, what's the deal with these two different phrases? Why does it say that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? Number one, because lo shamu b'koli, they didn't listen to me. And number two, lo halchuba, and they didn't walk in my way. So the Gemara says, no, there were two problems. Number one, B'nai Yisrael didn't follow the Torah, but also lo halchuba, they didn't say birchas haTorah before learning the Torah. And because they didn't say birchas haTorah, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So when the Torah quotes this Gemara in Or HaChaim, in Siman Mem Zayin, when he's explaining birchas haTorah, So he quotes this Gemara, and then the Bach, one of the commentaries on the Torah, he asks the question, okay, this doesn't seem so fair. They didn't say a bracha, and therefore the whole Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed. So the Bach explains as follows, no, it's really Midah Keneged Midah, right? Because what is Birchas HaTorah all about? Birchas HaTorah is this statement before you learn Torah, saying that the Torah I'm learning is in order to connect to God. We recognize the Torah is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim, that it's this representation of the fact that Hashem has chosen us from all the nations. We ask Hashem Baharav Hashem Lekenu, V'ei Tartacha B'finu. We want the Torah to be sweet. And it's all about recognizing that Talmud Torah is connecting to Hashem. But when you don't say Berachot Torah beforehand, and you just open up a book and learn it, then it's no longer about God. It's about yourself. And you just want knowledge and information in your head. I came into the kol yesterday, and there was this boy sitting here who, like, I see him here a lot, and it's like it's really sweet. So I went over to him, and started, like, I asked him what his name was, and started talking to him. So I asked him if he was learning, and he told me, and I asked him, how did you get someone to learning? He's like, and I was like really inspired by him, and then I'm like, yeah, how did you get someone to learning? He's like, I don't know, I've always liked filling my head with knowledge, and that was it, and just like, oh, that hurts, because. No, that's not what Torah is all about. It's not just like learning cool things. It's about connecting to Hashem. But either way, that's what the Bach says. That's the whole purpose of Birchas HaTorah. It's about connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not just about yourself, not just the new, but it's about the Chah. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because we were taking Torah and we were taking Judaism, and it wasn't avodah Hashem. It was avodah of ourselves. So this lack of spirituality, this not being able to realize that Avodas Hashem is for God and not for us, that's not just the result of not having the Beis HaMikdash, it's the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because we didn't have it, and then it's like this never-ending cycle. Because then the Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed, and we have less opportunities to connect to God by being in this purely spiritual environment. And then there's just these more things where Judaism all just becomes about you, and you look for the best kumsitz to inspire you, or the best Jewish foods, and it's all about you, and we just forget about God. And it's really a shame. So it's this mussar that benching is giving us, that there are three aspects of being a Jew. There's the universal, there's the national, but also the spiritual. And right now, we only have the first two, but we're lacking the third. And every time we bench, we're asking HaVashem we're number one, reminding ourselves that we need to work on doing Avodas Hashem for God and not for us. And then we ask Hashem, if we do our part, then can you do your part too? And you give us the Beis HaMikdash. So that's essentially the idea of benching. I just want to end with the following idea. I entitled this year, Let's Talk About Food, Morning Yerushalayim and Benching. And that was intentional. Because even though like the 3 weeks and the 9 days in Tisha B'Av is an extremely important time for mourning the Beis HaMikdash, it's not the ideal. And I know that's not the ideal, because we don't have 3 weeks the entire year. We have the 3 weeks only during 3 weeks of the year. There's this Gemara, I have it in source number 9, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but the Gemara in Bava Basra that gets thrown around a lot this time of year has the following story. The Gemara says that after the Korban of the second Beis HaMikdash, and there are a lot of people who stop eating meat and stop drinking wine. So Rabbi Yeshua goes up to them and says, what's going on? You're just not like enjoying yourself anymore? And they said, it used to be that Korbanos were brought on the Beis, on the Mizbeach every single day. If meat is no longer going to be brought on the Beis HaMikdash, how are we able to eat meat? And then they say, wine was poured on the Mizbeach for the Nisach HaYayin. Every time they would bring a Korban, they would pour wine on the Mizbeach. So if the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and they're no longer pouring wine on the Mizbeach, how are we possibly able to drink wine? And Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, that's a good point. But like, they also brought up fruit when they did the Bikurim every year by Shavuos, and they don't do that anymore, so you shouldn't eat fruit anymore. Oh, by the way, also, they whenever they would bring a Korban Mincha, which is a flour offering, they would always bring loaves of bread, so you probably also shouldn't eat bread anymore. Oh, by the way, also once a year on Sukkot, in addition to doing the Nisach HaYayin and pouring the wine on the Mizbeach, they would also do this Nisach HaMayim and pour water on the Mizbeach, and we're not going to get that anymore, so you also shouldn't drink water anymore. And it just gets more and more ridiculous. And Rabbi Yeshua's whole point is that even though the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it's sad, but we can't stop living. Because at the end of the day, right, God didn't destroy us, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but he left us alive. So clearly he wanted us to keep on living. So what's the compromise in the Gemara? The Gemara says that instead of just taking yourself out of this world, and which is what we do one day a year on Tisha B'Av, and it's important to have that one day a year, but instead of doing that for the rest of the year and never eating and never drinking, there's another solution. If you want to look in source number 9, and with this we'll end, it's like four lines from the bottom. The first word of the line is Yecholim La'amud, but I'm jumping near the end of the line. Elakach Amru Chachamim. We say as follows: Elakach Amru Chachamim. What should a person do to remember the Korban if they're not going to just get rid of all the pleasures of their life? Sad Adam et Beito B'Seed. You should plaster your house, but don't plaster the whole thing. M'Shayer Bo Davar Mu'at. You should leave over a little bit. Or if you jump to like the bolded part, Oseh Adam Kol Sarchei Tzuda. You should make a meal. But M'Shayer Davar Mu'at. You should leave over one small dish. And the Gemara says, then people should like. The Gemara then continues, Oseh Isha Kol Tachshida. A woman should put on all of her makeup. M'Shayer Davar Mu'at. But she should leave over a little bit of makeup, a little bit of jewelry, and not put on everything. And the whole point is that we're not supposed to stop living after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. We're supposed to keep on living. God wants us to keep on living. That's why he left us alive. But we need to do small little things to kind of lessen that existence, a drop. Not completely, but a drop, in order to remember the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the whole goal of this Gemara, and that's the whole goal of benching. Right? The reason why we're talking about food on Tisha B'Av is because Tisha B'Av ends tomorrow. And tomorrow we're getting back to our normal lives. And we're going to be getting up, sitting on normal chairs, wearing normal shoes, eating normal food. And the goal isn't to how in these 3 weeks of the year to think about Tisha B'Av, but it's how to insert into those normal activities that we do every day, how to insert Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash into those parts of our lives. And that means that every time we eat and we bench afterwards, we all bench, or at least we should all bench, or hopefully after this, we'll all be benching. By the way, side note, it's really a shame that like we try to get out of benching so much. It's one of the few mitzvah races we get to do every single day. There's like, yeah?
There's in Tosos in case of Megarfin, Tosos quotes the Rabbeinu Dovin mitz. So we used to take bread, cut it for less than a kazayas, soak it overnight, so this way he wouldn't have to wash a bench and it wouldn't be a bit of time. Rabbeinu Dovin mitz.
Okay, so if we're learning the whole day, then I think we have a tour. But otherwise, I don't know. It's like really such a special
thing. I have a Rebbe in my school, a coworker of mine. So during orientation, he says, "Oh, no one's benching. We could get to the Derasim." But then I told him this story.
What's his name? What was your everything?
Doesn't matter. Okay, fine. So once we all get to Rabbi Berman's level, then we no longer have to bench. But until we're there, no, it's really chaval. Like if we all benched. If we all made an effort to wash and bench once a day, I think the world would be a better place. But that's just my opinion. But either way, the whole point is even if we're not benching every single day, you bench, let's say, on Shabbos, once a week, right? That's the opportunity to insert into our eating, right? Most of us, unless you're in Eretz Yisrael, most people in America aren't leaving over like an amma by amma in their house of unpainted wall. In Eretz Yisrael, you see it a lot. People like frame it and make a big deal out of it. But most people aren't leaving over one dish at their meals in order to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Most people aren't like leaving off a little bit of makeup in order to remember the Beis HaMikdash. But benching is something that we do, and it's really this opportunity we have to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and to remember that without the Beis HaMikdash, it's very, very easy to fall into the trap of using a Avodas Hashem to serve yourself and not to serve God, because without the Beis HaMikdash, God is a little bit less out of the picture, and we have to work hard to find it. But it's this reminder that we're lacking something, but also we are able to put in the effort, try to work hard, and get to that level of spirituality, that Avodas Hashem becomes about Hashem. And then whenever we bench, if we try to keep this new idea in mind, it'll hopefully be a way of improving ourselves, hopefully a way that we could eventually get to the point that we do get the Beis HaMikdash. And hopefully next year on Tisha B'Av, we're going to be, instead of abstaining from food, we're going to be sitting at our tables, eating a nice big Suda, and the third bracha of benching is no longer going to be Rachim Nashem, Rachim Lal Yisrael Mecha, but another no debt. No delacha, Hashem lo kenu, al yisrael anecha, gel yisrael merecha, yath yom shank vadecha, etc., etc. So. Yeah. Anyone has thoughts or questions or ideas?
What are you studying in college?
I don't know.